I'm excited about this, man. Can I just tell you how excited I am about Easter coming? It's like the best time of the year, especially for preachers, because we get to talk and talk and talk right up until 11:05. Some of you got it. Some of you are starting to get it, right? We're talking, I'm trying to still figure out how, you know, in case I run over, if the time of response happens, we can actually stream the game. They might figure it. We're hopeless, aren't we? You know, you guys feel like things are starting to get back to kind of somewhat normal? Yeah? Remember when we first started lockdown for COVID and we're pretty much not allowed to do anything, right? We all became like TV connoisseurs, didn't we? We know about what our TV shows are. We found out stuff that we liked, what we didn't like. And then everybody started getting stressed out. So somebody found a way to out make money on that. And so what'd they do? They invented Calm TV. You guys seen those commercials? They give you 30 seconds of calm. Does it work? Heck no, it don't work. I don't know who thought of that. You know, the thing about these things is they try to get us to see ourselves in a different light. Valerie and I, in our TV time, right, there's one commercial that just kills us every time. You guys seen the sandals ad for like the all-inclusive beach resort? Where all the beautiful people, right, and they got the infinity pools on the thing, and they've got the heart-shaped lagoon with the cabanas, and they just, everybody, Valerie and I decided that we can absolutely never, ever, ever go there. And the reason being is, well, look at me. I'm just not beautiful enough to be in that commercial. And if that's what people, we can never go there. The thing about this is these things, they try to get us to see ourselves in a different light. They try to get us to see ourselves in some sort of abstract way. Those perfect people, for Valerie and I, and maybe for you as well, they don't exist in our real world. They exist in an abstract world. You guys heard of, you know the term abstract? When I say that, maybe you think of abstract art. Maybe you think of like Picasso or Kandinsky or Klimt or Pollock. You see, abstract art is art that attempts to represent something with a completely distorted visual reality. And instead of using true, right, they use shapes and colors and forms and some kind of gestures to achieve this effect. It permeated from art into music. And so there's also a form called abstract music where the artist will take a couple of notes and he will change them or extend them or manipulate them in some form to achieve a certain effect. But come on, preacher, you got to be out of here by 11:10. What does this all mean to us? What does this mean to us? Abstract is really considering stuff in more of the theoretical realm than in the actual. It's about grasping thing as a thought or an idea, but not having any physical or concrete evidence that it actually exists. You guys see where I'm going with this? You see, our life with Christ, the Bible tells us that it should reflect the one who saved us in thought and indeed. So it's really hardly any wonder that we seem to be falling short in our failing to achieve the Great Commission. Today we're going to be in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, and this passage has some really, really familiar stuff to it. And the thing about it is, as much as we know these passages, some of us really live them only in the abstract. We don't live them out on a daily basis. They exist in our minds, but they don't translate to action. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to be in the 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 21 called the Ministry of Reconciliation. So would you pray with me, please? Father God, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that in your all omnipotent world, Lord, we're an omniscient, where we can't fathom who you are and the depth of who you are. Lord, you became human and you sent your son Jesus to live and walk among us, to give reality to the abstract. And God, we thank you for the plan that you put in place even before the world's creation, Lord, just for Jesus to go to the cross and give his life for each and every one of us. But not just us, Lord. To give his life for the whole world. And so, God, we're grateful. And we come humbly before you today, Lord, thanking you for the life and the price paid for our salvation. So God, I ask today, Lord, if you would just empty us. Let us not think about the things that are going to happen this afternoon, but let us be in the now. Lord, to hear your word, to let it just lay upon our hearts, that we may come to know you and grow in you. And all this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. If you can't find it, it's the next book past 1 Corinthians, okay? So if you can find 1 Corinthians, if you just swipe left a little bit, you'll find 2 Corinthians. Or if you've got one of these things like me, these little handy-dandy markers, if you'll use my handy-dandy marker, you can find it. And I just lost it. Goodness gracious. Ministry of Reconciliation, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, it says this. It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope also it is known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For we are beside ourselves. It is for God. But if we are in our right minds, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, we were reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Whew, that's some good stuff there. Did you recognize anything? Anything familiar to you? We have a lot of seasoned Christians in here, Tony. You know that? And probably a few of them have heard of a cat named Flip Wilson. You guys ever hear of a guy named Flip Wilson? He was a comedian that was on TV back, and he had a variety show back when variety shows were popular back in the like 60s and 70s. And he coined a phrase that we probably all have heard at one time or another. The devil made me do it. You guys know that phrase? Did you know in 1981, there was a guy named, what's his name? Arnie Johnson. Arnie Johnson killed his landlord during a party, and he claimed as his defense that an exorcism of a young boy of 11 who had actually prayed to be demon possessed, and when he was exorcised, that demon possessed Arnie and caused him to kill his landlord. It's the only case that's ever been tried as the devil made me do it. It didn't work. Just, oh, by the way, it didn't work. The thing about that phrase, the devil made me do it, I hope I'm not the only one that has used that from time to time. Because in my former life, that was the way I justified some of my actions, that the devil made me do it. The Apostle Paul, in his ministry, a whole bunch of times he had to defend what he was doing. He had to defend his ministry, not just his actions from his past life, but what he was doing in the present. Guys, besides me, you guys have justified your behavior? Huh? Done something and said, well, I wouldn't have done that. Follow me. If you hadn't of. Right? Or I only did that because. See here, Paul's saying, we didn't tell you all this stuff so that you would boast about it. He's saying we told you all this stuff to show you that Christ controls us. In everything that we do, we live and work for Christ. People have started doubting. They thought Paul was on his own and he was boasting about himself. And he says, no, I need you to understand everything that we do is because of Christ. When you reflect back on Paul, everybody knew who he was, right? When he was Saul, everyone knew who this cat was. He had been given letters to go plunder and pillage Christians across all the way to Syria, right? And then so finally, right, Paul's doing his thing, and Jesus strikes him down, man, on the way to Syria as he's going to annihilate some more Christians, and he ends up at this poor cat's named Ananias' house, basking in his depression of what happened. Jesus comes to Ananias and says, I want you to heal him. What? You want me to go heal the guy who's been killing people across your lands? And he was afraid. And I can't say that I'm blaming him. But the Lord spoke to him in Acts 9, 15 and 16. He said this. He said, but the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And Paul did. Paul did, man. He was beaten, shipwrecked, thrown off a cliff, stoned, everywhere he turned, danger, danger, danger. And yet still he went. And in all of that suffering, he did nothing but speak of Christ. Did nothing but speak of Christ. And even in the midst of all that suffering, he's still working to persuade people He's still working to tell of the greatness of who he was. He did speak in front of kings. He did speak in front of rulers. He did speak in front of Gentiles. And he did speak in front of the children of Israel. My brother gave us a lesson about being ambassadors. Christ, he's not called us to go speak before kings and emperors and presidents. Simply ask us, tell. He simply asked us this, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Just walk in a manner worthy to what you've been called. You see, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're set apart, right? We become royalty. We become part of a priesthood. We become a holy people. We become sons, daughters, heirs, people that have been called out of the darkness and into the light. We get to be called children of God. But you know what else we are? We're also his chosen instruments. Just like Paul, we too are his chosen instruments. And we're chosen because we can speak of his excellences and we can tell the great things that he's done and we can begin to learn how to persuade others just as Paul did. And we won't boast of ourselves. We'll boast of Christ who has done all this through us. Listen, my family, if we truly, truly love Christ as much as we say we do, then it's his love that guides us to walk in his footsteps. It's his love that guides us to tell of his great love. So growing in Christ means that we have to let Christ reign in our lives. Next, I want to talk about how Christ, the love of Christ, remakes us. The love of Christ remakes us. Listen to what he says in verse 14. He says, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, regard no one according to the flesh, even though we were once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You guys love that verse? Isn't that the best verse? That's the best verse ever. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the Savior's faithfulness to fulfill the work of the Lord, to fulfill his work that God had placed him on earth, to drink from the cup that God had set before him. You see, Paul understood that sacrifice. Paul understood the sacrifice that was made for him and for us. It reminds us that our primary focus should always be on Christ's love for us, that he died for all of us. Thinking in terms of how we can serve him and not him serve us. But I want you to just let that sink in when Paul says he died for all. He died for all, not just us. The Bible says this. He says, he died for the person that begs at the gas station. He died for the person who chooses not to work or is lazy. He died for the woman, 5 kids who's on assistance. He died for the person that you are angry at most. He died for the addict, the alcoholic, and the criminal. You see, family, it's our belief that the cross of Calvary, Christ acted on behalf of the whole human race, The whole human race. That needs to become the core of our thinking when we view the world. Listen to what the scripture said. It says, and she shall bear a son. And she shall call him Emmanuel, and he will save the people from their sins. The Bible goes on to say, the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He is propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's through the blood of the Lamb, right? The atoning sacrifice of Christ, we have received this inheritance of salvation and life eternal. The sinful self is passed away. It's washed, been made clean, and we became new. Man, I love that verse. I love that verse because it goes on to say, and as for the person who hears my word but don't keep them, I do not judge them. For because Jesus says, for I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. Revelation 5:9. Listen to what he says here. He says, and with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. For all of us, everybody gets to be made new. Man, can I tell you, I'm getting old. I had to go have my eyes checked the other day and found out I need glasses. Because I can't see far away hardly anymore. And apparently, I can't see up close either. So I had my reading glasses. Y'all got these? Bifocals, trifocals, progressives. I learned a whole lot about glasses lately. The older we get, there's some of us that develop cataracts, right? Where the lens over your eyes begins to fog and it becomes blurry and you can't see. And so they have this great surgery where the doctor goes in and he cuts out your lenses and he puts new lenses in, brand new artificial lenses in your eyes. And in most cases, you have nearly brand new vision. You can see. You can see clearly. The new creation is very much in that same manner. When you think about it, God takes our old, distorted, and blurred vision and gives us a new vision to help us see more clearly. He replaces our once hard heart with a heart of flesh. He takes us our old and jaded self and replaces it with a new one. Out of the darkness and into the light, the old has passed away, the new has come. So growing in Christ is trusting that his love will remake us. It's trusting that he will remake us. Oh, I better speed up. The love of Christ renews. All this is from God through Christ? No. I just want to see if you guys are paying attention. The love of Christ renews. Says all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. We've been trusted. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Let me say it again. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says Christ reconciled us to himself. What the heck does that even mean? It means to restore. It means to bring somebody into a favorable or friendly relationship after some kind of presumed wrong. Brothers and sisters, listen to what I'm about to tell you. We're all presumed wrong. We are wrong. Just by our very nature of sin, we are wrong. So this cat from Illinois, he was up in Chicago and he decided he was going to go down to the Tampa for the Final Four. Isn't that where it's being played? No? Anyway, he's heading down to Tampa because it's warm down there. And as soon as he gets down there, he checks in and he sends his wife an email, except in doing so, he missed a couple of letters. And it went to an elderly lady who was a pastor's wife who had passed actually the day before that he sent the email. And so as the elderly lady who's in her grief goes up and opens up her email, she reads this, she says, oh my God. She says, I can't believe it. And she falls down and she passes and she leaves out this big huge streak. And the family's coming running in because they're still mourning over this. And they look in there and mama's passed out on the floor. And they're like, what happened? What happened? And they go in there and they look at the email. And the email says this. It says, honey, just got checked in and everything is great. Can't wait for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. It's really hot down here. Listen, when we sin against God, we have this pathway through Jesus Christ to be restored, to be reconciled. When man sinned in the garden, God condemned the world. He get one and done. He condemned the world, and yet he sent Christ to save us. He sent Christ to restore us, not counting our trespasses against us, to offer forgiveness. To offer forgiveness for past, for present, and for future, for those we know about and those we don't know about. This is grace. This is what grace looks like. And the Bible says, all we have to do is one thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Man, it feels good to be renewed. Knowing that we're forgiving is a good feeling. Nothing, men, help me out here. Is there anything better than getting out of the doghouse? Heck no. Heck no. You see, we work hard, and then we get to go on vacation, right? We work hard. You guys hard workers? I'm working hard. Now I'm going to drag this out because y'all ain't helping. But can I get a witness to men how many times when you go on vacation? That's hard work too. Sometimes going on vacation is just as hard work as it is trying to get through the week. But yet no matter how hard it is to go on vacation, don't we feel renewed when we come back? Sure we do. You see, if you take nothing else from this sermon today, I want you to take this. The reason for doing something is as important, if not more important, than what was done. See, God valued us so much that he wants all people to receive his grace. God wants us to help him. The Bible says he has entrusted this message to us. We've been given this great message, and all we have to do is something that we're all very good at. Talking. We're all good at talking. We're all good at telling stories. We're all good at doing all these things. Imagine how our stories and our talking would change if we allowed ourselves to be controlled by Christ. See, he reconciles us to himself so that we learn to be like him. That he will make us new every day. Every day he makes us new. And he does so that we can tell of his goodness and his mercy and his love. And all we have to do is allow this love of Christ to renew us. Tony, you want to bring up your group and let's get ready to start our time of response. Reconciling ourselves to God is not a one and done thing. It's not just like, hey man, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm good, right? Not like that at all. Reconciling yourself to God means it's something that you have to do continually. These guys are going to sing a song up here, and one of the sets says this. It says, "Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made." One of the earlier I was making, I hope I didn't go overboard. I hope I didn't get overboard when I was talking about my wife going to speak, because she breathes life into me all the time. And one of the things that she constantly reminds me of, and she reminds other people of, is this. And then I'm going to turn this over to them. It says, be careful of agreeing with God in the abstract, but denying him in the reality. Be careful of agreeing with God in the abstract, but denying him in reality. Paul says we need to let the love of God control us, to reign in us, to reign in us, and to reign over us. Today, as the guys get ready, and guys and gals, as this group gets up, let God reign in your hearts today.